Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's episode of the Cartoon Wednesdays podcast. Today, we'll be talking about The Amazing World of Gumball is a 2011 animated television show created by a man by the name of Ben Bouclet, and as you pretty sure all of you are aware, most of you are aware, or if you're unaware, it aired on the Cartoon Network. So the Amazing World of Gumball follows the adventures, or I guess rather misadventures, or the happenings. That sounds boring. Sounds like I'm an old man, but it follows the life of Gumball, who is a blue cat, and his brother Darwin, a orange fish, and his sister, mostly those two, and some supporting characters of their family are his sister Anais, his father Richard, and his mother Nicole. Anais, his younger sister, she's like 5 or 6, I think. And Gumball's 12, and Darwin's like around that age. And Anais is a pink rabbit. Richard is also a pink rabbit, and Nicole is a blue cat. It's kind of weird how the family genetics work out. How you have a split. I mean, don't go too deep into that, which I guess is fine because all the residents of Elmore are really weird and don't really make any sense. It's all fantastical. And Darwin doesn't make sense. So, for the show, like I always do, this is season one. I review season one. And season one, we don't learn why Darwin. It's kind of confusing how you have a rabbit dad and a cat mom, and you have a cat and a rabbit, and you have a fish. Well, we learn that in later seasons, there's an episode that Darwin is like a mutation. He's a freak. He's a freak of nature mutation through the power of love. Like, he was a pet store fish who gained sentience and the ability to walk and breathe air. So, yeah, he wasn't biologically born to Nicole or Richard. But now let's get into some more of the residents of the town. The town the show takes place in is called the City of Elmore, and the boys go, all the kids go to Elmore Junior High. I know I said Anais is 5, but she's like really smart for her age, like genius level intellect, which I think is kind of funny. And then some of the kids at their school, you have Penny, who is Gumball's love interest, and she's like a peanut with antlers. I think she's black. I also think that Darwin is black. I don't care if you disagree with me, but we're claiming him. I'm claiming Darwin and Penny. You can at me if you want to, but they have been claimed. So I only want to see them as black. Darwin, he's black. Like he gives off nigga vibes. Like he's the odd man out. Family people like Richard, Nicole, Anais, and Gumball, they're all white. Like 100% they're white. Because in a later episode, in later seasons, they become normal people. They become humans. And they're all white people. But Darwin's the dog. That was kind of weird. But, Darwin being the dog, that makes sense. But I'm 100% convinced that Darwin is black. 100% convinced. He's just black. But let's move on from him. So, like I said, Penny, also black. But also you have... Tina, her name is Tina Rex, and she's a T-Rex. You have Bobbert, who's a robot. You have Tobias, who's like this really weird, like, multicolored, like, just cloud, not cloud, but multicolored thing with legs, and he wears a headband. And he has a sister that goes to Elmore Junior High too, named Rachel. Oh, and Fun fact about Rachel, we only really see her in this episode. After this episode, she's never seen again. And it's because in the show, it's set, no, maybe it's not set in the show, but I did some wiki, some wiki research, and the writers revealed that she went off to college. And those are some like the discrepancies between Europe and America. I do believe I said earlier in the podcast that the show was produced, well, it was made with Cartoon Network Europe, so in Europe. So there were some cultural differences, like in some of the bathrooms, they have WC on them, and WC stands for water closet. And then the writer said that she went off to college. I did some Redditing. Yeah, I'm a Redditor, guys. Yeeks. Yikes. Sheesh. And they say that she went to college, but in Europe, correct me if I'm wrong, Europeans, that they were referred to what we call high school as college, and then what we would call college as university. So just some unique, not unique, but some cool kind of cultural differences between the show that you would just notice. So I think that's kind of funny. But yeah, Rachel, she was a really cool character, and I hope that they would have used her more, because I, like I said, I liked her character. And as a kid, I didn't like consciously know like what the fuck is going on, but I had like the subconscious thought, like, I wonder where Tobias's sister is. I haven't seen her in a long time. So that's just some I would like to just point out. But I'm back to some of the other characters in the school in season one. You have Sussie. Sussie is like, I don't know, she's the weird girl, I guess how you put it. And there's Sussie, there's Leslie, who is a potted plant, and he can walk around, or she can walk around. I think it's a dude. I don't really know. Okay, moving on. There's a girl called Masami, who's a cloud. And then you have, I'm probably missing a lot. I'm probably not do everybody. It's a lot of people. You have Terry, who is like paper comes to life. If you just like drew a character on a piece of paper, and then that body just like the outline of the body just gained sentience and started walking around, what's on the paper. That's what she is. And then you have Alan, who's a balloon. You have Juke, who's a kid with a boombox forehead, who's black. He's black, obviously. Like the kid with the boombox, he's black. He's 100% black. I don't care what anybody says. He's black. Claiming him too. And you have this potato dude and this dude made of toast. I can't remember their names. They're not really that important to me. And then you have this piece of clay. He doesn't have a name in first season. I can't remember. I know he does, but I just can't remember. And then you have this other dude who is blue, when he has one eye, he's a cyclops, blue, really spindly, lanky, and he has blonde hair. His name is Rob. We learn his name late in later seasons. And to move on from him, and we have, oh yeah, another guy, an eyeball with wings. I think his name is William. Probably not. I was just saying. Oh, then we have Ocho, who is, if you ever played Space Invaders, so like the little bugs that move across your screen. So yeah, and that's basically most of the cast of the show. So now we're going to move on to another cool thing about the show is it's all animated very uniquely. Oh, I forgot about the teachers too. You have Mr. Small, who was a cloud given sentience like Masami. But the difference between them is that Mr. Small is humanoid, while Masami is just like a literal cloud, which is really weird. Because in later seasons, we see Masami's mom, and Masami's mom is humanoid like Mr. Small is. So it's kind of weird, but stylistic choices or whatever. We have Principal Brown, who was this weird kind of hairy creature thing. I don't know. And you have Miss Simeon, who is a monkey. Miss Simeon's white, by the way. Miss Simeon's 100% white. Miss Simeon is a Karen, obviously 100% a Karen, because she's just kind of like a real bitch in the show. That's kind of her job and everything, like her role in the show, I guess. And she's a teacher there, one of the teachers. And then you have Rocky, who was the school janitor, who was a puppet. So now we've gone through. He's a white dude too. So now we've gone through all the side characters, or some of the side characters. I probably missed one or two. Let's move on to the animation I was talking about. So like I said, a lot of the show's characters are all animated differently. So you have, for example, Miss Simeon. Oh, excuse me, I forgot about Hector. Hector's this huge giant dude. Like he's a giant Bigfoot. Giant Bigfoot. So we got that. Let's move on. Now we have, like I said, Miss Simeon. She's animated in 3D, along with Tina, who's also 3D, and Bobber. So they're all 3D, which is kind of cool, because the way to see the 2D characters like Gumball, Darwin, Principal Brown, and Penny, how they interact with the world. And then you have the piece of clay dude. Oh, Banana Joe. Excuse me, I forgot about Banana Joe. Who's a banana? And you have like the claymation dude. He's like the clay dude. He's this claymation. And you have Rocky, who's a puppet. So I can only assume that they puppeteered him in the show, like on a green screen, and just put him in. And Sussie, who is really annoying. Well, not annoying, but unnerving. And the way she's animated is they take, I guess maybe in her voice actor or one of the show's writers or something, and or someone, and they just take the guy. It's a dude, and like they this is revealed later in the season or later in the show that like they put like a green morph suit on his body and put him on a green screen, and they turn like his head upside down so that he's laying flat on his back and his head hangs over the table. And so, but there's a cutout on from like the top of the lip to the chin, and that's what Sussie is. Sussie is the man's lip to chin, and they cover like the lip part, or well, they cover like the face part up to like the lip, and they cover it in what they cover, they cover like her dress, what would be her dress, and they give her like a puppet arms that they puppeteer, and then they put googly eyes. They put googly eyes on the chin, and it's and Sussie talks like this. Probably a terrible Sussie impersonation, and then she eats with her mouth open. It's so disgusting. Like those were like the live action aspects, and you have Rocky say was a puppet, and he has parents also live in town, Mr. Robinson and his wife. They're both puppets. Yeah, they're next door neighbors to Gumball, and a lot of the cars in the show are also 3D. I can only imagine like the pain, staking animation and time that went into the show to make it what it is. It's like they worked really hard on the show for a lot of painstaking animation, so I can respect that. And then you have oh, Alan's also 3D animated. I think I hit on everybody that's animated differently. Some of there's 3D models throughout the show too, like some of the houses and the buildings and stuff, 2D, some flat. Oh, and there's this police officer dude. I don't know what his name is, but he's like a donut. He's 3D animated. And there's a guy called Larry. Larry's like that one dude in town that does like all the jobs. And he's, I think it's like a rock or a piece of cardboard or something. And that's his, and he's 3D animated too. So I think I did everything. I think I did 2D, puppeteering, live action, and 3D animation. I think I got them all. Oh, yeah. I think I actually got everybody in this. So now that we're done with a little bit of like the show talking stuff, let's get into the old nitty gritty, what you come for, and let's start talking about some episodes. So to let you know, surprisingly, which I think is kind of weird, not weird, but kind of cool with the show that, well, cool in the sense that it exists, but not cool in the sense that I have to watch the episodes. There are 36 episodes in an 11-minute format. So which means if you wanted to binge watch the entire season, that would take you about, if it's about 6 episodes, about 6 hours. You got 6 hours to watch the whole thing. Yeah, that was kind of a low-key pay, but it had 36 episodes, which meant that whoever greenlit the show, the executives that greenlit the show had some immense immense hopes for the show. They do like this show. We done struck gold. This right here, gold. And it kind of was. It lasted for 6 seasons. Gave a lot of people a lot of laughs. And it's heralded as one of the greatest shows of Cartoon Network. At least the modern era of Cartoon Network. When I say modern era, I'm talking about Adventure Time, Steven Universe, Regular Show, Over the Garden Wall, not Flapjack. Well, Flapjack too. Yeah, Flapjack. Like, it's like a modern day Cartoon Network. It's heralded as one of the greats. And it deserves that. Because it's really funny. And later, like, the first season, in my opinion, is my least favorite season. Even as a kid, I didn't like it. And you can tell that it's the first season because the first season has a different art style and animation than the later seasons. A lot of the character models are different. I think, like, Gumball gets a little bigger. Like, his head gets bigger and his fur tone, not skin tone, is darkened. So that's just one thing to mention. And that's how you can mark the season one into all the other seasons. But season one is too, like, kiddy for me. Even as a kid, all those episodes didn't stick for me. Like, it was, like, hit or miss. And more often than not, I felt they missed. So, to watch the episodes for this show and this season, at least this season, were kind of painful for me. Because I felt some of them were cringy and not very funny. Like I did when I was a kid. So, like, since, I think I said this before, but since I was a kid, I had a really low cringe tolerance. If something was cringy to me as, like, a little kid, I would just, like, painfully cringe to watch it, or just go somewhere else and flip channel, or just leave the room and come back when the cringe is gone. I don't know what that means for me as a kid, but I had a very low cringe tolerance, and still do. So watching some of the episodes were painful for me, at least. Not painful, like, not like I'm, like, being tortured to watch them or anything, but I didn't find them very funny at all. But that being said, so you know my opinion of the show, I still think the show was good. But if you're asking me, like, I guess I would have been an adult at that stage, but as a kid, if I think season one should have got renewed for season two, I would have said yes. But there were definitely some moments that had me laugh and had me think this show was actually pretty good and it had some substance to it. And I wanted to see it grow and become more, and it did grow and become more. It became a super good show that's very funny and very creative, and I'm not going to say innovative, but inventive, I would say it's the better word. So it definitely holds a place in my heart as one of my probably top 10 favorite cartoons of all time. Easy, just super easy place for that. But we're going to move on to talk about some episodes. I want to turn our attention to, let's see, should we start with episode one? Episode one was one of the ones I didn't like. I would start with episode two. Let's just go over some things in episode two. Episode two is called the DVD. Oh, one thing about the way the episodes are named, it's always the something. So, the DVD, the bully, the this, the that. So, just something kind of cool to show. Something on the show that stays consistent. Oh, and I just remembered another character I forgot about, guys. I know I'm going all around the place, but you should know this by now. Carrie. Carrie is a ghost girl. In one episode, I'm not going to talk about it, but she possesses Gumball's body and sends him on, like, a feeding frenzy because she's like, oh, I can't eat. I wish I could enjoy food. So Gumball's like, oh, you can use my body. So she takes over his body and sends him on these wild bingers. Binges. These wild food binges, and he just gets immensely fat, and then he has to tell Carrie. No, I don't really know what happens because I just kind of skimmed through it. But that's just the basic of the episode. But let's talk about the DVD. Gumball and Darwin, they rent a DVD from the show's Blockbuster. Oh, that's another thing showing the show's age. It makes a reference to Blockbuster, which was kind of like basically out of business by 2011. Where I grew up, if you guys know, most of y'all know, in Norfolk, Virginia, I think, what's that, Little Creek Row or Tidewater Drive by the By the Walmart, yeah, by the Walmart where the Sam's Club used to be, where like the Arby's is and the Cookout now. Y'all remember where that Blockbuster used to be? There used to be a Blockbuster there. Now I think that's where like the Navy Federal ATM is, where the Blockbuster used to be. Or maybe that's just like next to it, or maybe it's still like an empty space. But there used to be a Blockbuster here, and that's just like one way to show like the datedness of the show, which isn't a bad thing because some things don't necessarily age the best, and it's not a knock to the show. It's just that this was kind of spoke to the time when the show came out, and it's like how can the showrunners predict or the writers predict that Blockbuster is going to go under and its joke is not going to be as funny like a decade later. I mean, I guess you kind of assume that some jokes aren't gonna be as funny a decade later, but I guess you really couldn't predict that Blockbuster was gonna go out of business and that joke kind of would have been near irrelevant. Let's get back to the episode. It's kind of like the basic shtick when it comes to Blockbuster related jokes and shows is that you have a DVD. DVD is overdue. Hijinks ensue. So they have a DVD. Mom says take it back, and Gumball almost gets his ass because his mom's a beast. Mom's an absolute beast. Mom is super scary, and he's like, you should. Mom is to tell him take that DVD back, and he's being a little smart ass. And he's like, there's something, something, something. And he's like, with the kids that you chose to have, and she's like, and she gets pissed, and she punches a hole through the door. The door, folks. You know how strong you gotta be to punch a hole clear through the door? I'm not talking like she puts her whole arm through the door. Bro, his mom was strong as shit. His mom was strong as shit. And so he's like, yeah, I'll go. And he comes in the kitchen and he sees Darwin trying to cut a pizza, which is in sixth for some reason, or six pieces cut in six slices for some reason. I mean, Europeans are fucking weird, dog. I don't. Who the fuck cuts a pizza in the sixth? Who the fuck does that? I mean, I've heard niggas cut pizza in the 16th. Like, you have like a school pizza party in them skinny ass slices. Like, who the fuck wants that skinny ass piece of shit? But like a sixth? What the fuck? Oh yeah, Domino's Brooklyn style pizzas. Those get cut in the sixth, I forgot. Nonetheless, Gumball takes it, tries to clean it with a sponge, but he uses the abrasive side, scratches it. And he like freaks out, and it goes down the garbage disposal, which was on for some god awful reason, and it breaks. So the rest of the episode, they end up trying to get money to pay for the DVD and get all those like those late notices and stuff. And the DVD is called Alligators on a Train, which is of course a reference to Snakes on a Plane with Samuel Jackson. I can't remember the other guy that was in that movie. Probably Ryan Reynolds, but I doubt it though. And it ends with them making their own bootleg copy of the DVD and trying to pawn it off. And their mom's finds out about all the late notices and stuff, and tries, and she's like chasing after them as they're running to the Blockbuster. And their mom is like a parkour master. She like rides a pit bull and does all this cool flippy trick stuff, and like their mom's a beast, bro. She I mean I don't want to be like that, but I mean if she won the time if she won the time my cock and balls it's like a balloon poodle, sheesh, I can't say no. His mom's kind of fucking scary, honestly. The most terrifying person. Her most terrifying mother in all of fiction. Probably not, but high up there. So they get to the Blockbuster and he's like, yeah, so you have to pay for the DVD, which is like $20, I think. And also a late fee, which is $700. Almost a whole rack. I'm so glad I didn't grow up with Blockbusters and late fees and shit. Because damn, that sounds fucking terrible. So, whew. Blockbuster. I mean, if all y'all old heads watching this, and I know some old heads be watching this for some reason, like tell me how bad like Blockbuster like late fees used to be, because they sound god awful. Like I know it's like a joke, but I mean Jesus Christ. Also during that episode, they make like those piracy is a crime jokes. Like remember on during like 2000s and stuff when you used to have a DVD and DVDs, and that same ad would play like, you wouldn't download a burger, you wouldn't download a table, you wouldn't download a car. You can download all those things now. So why would you download a movie? Piracy is a crime. And Darn gives them that speech. So I thought that was kind of funny, because those things were always like, so those commercials, like those ads and DVDs and movies were always so just stupid. Like, even as a kid, I'm like, they have like the most edgy kind of 2000s music, black and white, like a basically a drug deal going on, like some alleyway, some dude just has like a fold out table, just all these DVDs on it, which is like how most of the hood gets their movies. Like, you go like in the hood, you go to the barber shop, you go to the damn Chinese restaurant, and then you just ask for, like, you know anybody that sells bootleg DVDs? I guarantee you they can rattle off five people just like that. I guarantee you, if you want like a bootleg DVD, go to your local barber shop, go to the hood, ask somebody. You will find out. You could probably get some drugs too. You could definitely get some drugs, or they will know somebody that knows drugs. I tell you, bro, these people know these people. This shit's crazy. So I guess they were completely wrong in those ads. And to punctuate it, in the last, and so in the middle part of the episode, they're like trying to find jobs in the newspaper for how they can make money. And Gumball asks Darwin, can you speak Chinese? And Darwin says a whole bunch of stuff in Chinese that I cannot pronounce nor quote. But I can read you translation. And the translation says, I don't really know how to speak Chinese because it's really hard to speak it. And I only know a little Chinese, so I can't say I speak it. But the subtitles say no. I thought it was kind of funny, a little slight Chinese joke in there. It's a little funny, but I know that was me today. Everybody like, oh, you done offended me. You, I as a straight white, no, excuse me, I as a homo, I as a lesbian white woman. No, excuse me, I as a straight white woman, and that's been living in the suburbs my whole life with my pink hair and my liberal arts degree, am offended on behalf of these Chinese people. Chinese people, are you offended? Not really. You should be offended. You offended some white woman with that joke. Jesus Christ. That was a pretty good episode. It wasn't as funny to me as other episodes were, but I did kind of appreciate the episode that I'm talking about. I didn't understand. I didn't, when watching it, I don't necessarily see all the nuances until I started talking about it. And I remember all the little details I want to express. So sometimes watching the show isn't the best way to like absorb all the knowledge. Sometimes you gotta talk about it. Maybe then you'll realize all the things you missed and how kind of cool that the episode was. So, but let's move on to episode 13, The Mystery. In episode 13, The Mystery, Principal Brown is found bald and covered in green paint and wrapped in toilet paper in Gumball's locker. And so Miss Simeon locks everybody in the locks all the kids in a classroom and tells them, and Rocky to the janitor, and tells them to figure out who did it. And Gumball goes all detective noir on them, and he's first suspect is Penny because she has green paint on her pom-poms. And he's like, I know you did it because you were madly in love with me. Psh, you ain't gotta lie. I know you assaulted Principal Brown because he put me in the detention because you love me, sweetheart. You can go ahead and tell him. She's like, no, actually, I just hung a painting of the cheerleaders and I got the green paint on my pom-poms. Yeah, Gumball get played. Fucking simp. And the next suspect is Rocky. And it's just like, what the hell? And it's like, because, like Gumball says, because you're a 27-year-old and you're out the prime of your life and your life's a disappointment. Like, you were mad and angry, and also your hair just fell out. You saw Principal Brown's luscious brown locks and you just had to take them, so you assaulted Principal Brown. Use some chemicals on him. Oh yeah, because Rocky has chemicals. He's the janitor. He has chemicals that could take the hair off a person. Use the chemicals, take the hair off of Principal Brown and glue it on yourself. Wrap them in toilet paper. Done where the paint came from. And stuck them in my locker. And then it's like Rocky's like, no, I just dropped the chemicals by accident. Sheesh. And next we have Gumball because, I mean, excuse me, Darwin, because Darwin has TP, has TP on his shoe, and Gumball's like, haha, so you must have done it. And I was like, yeah, bro, I did it, bro. And I was like, hey, Darwin, it could have been you. You had the TP on your shoe like all day, and it just goes like a Scooby-Doo-esque cutaway where Darwin's going in and out of classrooms with TP on his and out of classrooms, up and downstairs with TP on his shoe, which is, not that funny. And then and the next the last suspect is Dark Gumball, because he says it has to be the one person who knew the combination to my locker, and he points to himself. And why is this happening? Well, he points to every person. Thus, a spotlight comes down and shines on that person. It shines on him this time. So it's kind of like a fourth wall break between the show, or not between, but in the show. And so, Miss Simeon's like comes in the room at that exact time. It's like, that's all I needed to hear. And Gumball dips, and Miss Simeon says the first person that captures Gumball has no homework. And go, and everybody's like, oh. Say less, say less. So they go out and they chase him. And even Rocky chases him too. I don't know why Rocky chases him. He doesn't even have homework. I guess the writers just like let it happen. And it proceeds like a whole chasing him going around the school and everything. And then he runs into the nurse's office by accident. The nurse is a Band-Aid, by the way. In the nurse's office, and he runs into Principal Brown's gurney. And that shit gets launched out the window, and then he lays on the ground, and then you hear beep, 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 beep as a school bus comes, and it just runs over Principal Brown, crushing him like a soda can, like a soda pop can. And from there, Gumball just runs back out. He backs away from the window and runs away until he runs into Bobbert. And Bobbert shows him what happened. Bobbert shows him and everyone else what happens. And it turns out, and Bobbert, like, roast. Bro, he be roasting the niggas for no reason. This is what happens. So he says, Penny hangs her horrendous painting. Yeesh. And Gumball walks past Penny looking stupid or as love-struck or dumb as hell as ever. And then Rocky comes by looking very old, despite only being 27, and the chemicals fall off his janitor's cart. And then Gumball looking some word starts with an I that I can't remember, but he calls him a nin oh then he calls him like a nincompoop or something like that. And then the TP comes by, and then this is what happens. Let me get this straight. Principal Brown is walking, so this is what happens. Principal Brown walks past the door. The door swings open. It knocks him down the stairs. He starts getting rolled in toilet paper. He then lands into some of the chemicals, hits his head on the painting, and he falls back, rolls stuff in more toilet paper as he goes down the stairs, and ends up in Gumball's locker, which just happened to be open. And then it's like, Bobbert. Wait, Bobbert, stop, go back. See right there? So who opened that door? Enhance. Enhance. Zoom, no, zoom. 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 Enhance. On some CSI shit. So it was Miss Simeon. So Miss Simeon, he's like, we're going to tell Principal Brown what you did. It's like, tell Principal Brown but that I did what? She erases Bobbert's memory, right? And then she's like, ah, you guys will never get me. And she walks past that same door. Principal Brown swings that shit open, and she goes flying out the window. And the way they do it is the way they animate it is they animate the glass breaking. When the glass breaks, you can see a puppet, a little doll of Miss Simeon, fly out and land. And that was kind of funny. And then she gets run over by an ambulance. Same way. So it's like beep, 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 crunch. And then she just gets her just desserts. Next episode, the party. Yay, it's the party. And the party, Rachel. Oh, well, Tobias invites everybody to a party. It turns out it was Rachel's party, his sister, her one and only appearance. And She says Tobias's friends can come if they bring a date. So the plot episode is Gumball has to find a date. So then he's going down a bunch of like females and stuff, and he's like, and then he gets to Terry, the girl that's the paper, and she's like, too flat. Like, sheesh, Gumball, like, God damn, bro, you wanna act like that? And so he goes to ask the girl out first, and before he goes to ask the girl out, he gets a note in his lunch. Somebody flies a paper airplane to his lunch and says, "Do you want to be the jelly in my peanut butter sandwich?" And he's like, "What? I'm already ate. I'm not even hungry." He just tosses the paper away. Bro, some girl was hitting on him, and the man didn't even know it. Man, I wish the female would try stuff like that. And by the way, females, what's stopping you from doing that? What's stopping you from asking a guy, "Do you want to be the jelly in my peanut butter sandwich?" Like, what's stopping y'all? Like, please, I'd like to be the jelly in somebody's peanut butter sandwich. Like, honestly, 100% I would. But next, what happens? So next, he goes to ask Masami, and he's like, "Well, Masami, you're not the most beautiful girl, but I'm willing to lower my standards to go out with someone like you." And she's like, "Huh." And she strikes him with lightning. She's a cloud. And he's like, "Well, Terry, I mean, what's up with you? Like, what's good with you?" And she's like, "Huh." And she smacks him, but since she's paper, it has no weight to it. And he's like, "Oh, okay, what was that?" So he ends up like at dinner with his family, and he's like, they're like, and Isaac, "Are you going to the party?" He's like, "Nah, I can't find a date. No girl wants to go." And he's like, "Well, there's one girl you can try." "Who?" And it turns out to be Tina. So he gets on the phone, he's like, "Hey, Tina, do you want to be my date to the party?" And he's like, basically on the other end, she says, "I'll go if you get on your knees and start begging." And as he's on his knees begging, his whole family shows up and just looks at him. And they have like one phone by the kitchen. They all come out like peer past the kitchen door and look at him as he's on his knees begging for her to go with him. And she says yes, of course. And he picks her up. And since she's like a animal, I kind of guess more than most people, Richard, the dad, takes Gumball, Tina, and Darwin, and Tina sticks her head out the car, and she has her tongue flapping in the wind. And when we get to the party, we see that Tina is, of course, with Gumball, but Hector is with Penny. And then they get to the party, you know, party's kind of boring, lackluster, and that's when Principal Brown and Miss Simeon show up, and Miss Simeon kicks the door down, saying, "This party's busted. Busted wide open." Principal Brown's like, "Busted." And they turn the party to an absolute razor. You know, everybody's having fun, having a good time. And after that, it cuts to another scene where Rachel is outside crying on the steps because none of her friends she invited actually came. She invited all her friends, but not a single one came. And only Tobias's friends came. Like, just imagine that. Imagine inviting all your friends to a party, but only your younger brother's bratty friends show up. She must have been feeling so fucking sad. Like, she must have left because of the humiliation. I just felt real bad for her. But then Darwin comes on. He's like, "Hey, what you doing? The party's going on." She's like, "None of my friends came." "Yes, they did. Where are your friends?" And they're like, "No, you're just my brother's bad bratty friends." And he's like, no, we are friends." "Really? Yeah, of course we're your friends. Well, I'll even help you stay and clean up." And then he's like, "You know, I'm part sacrifice." He's like, "Whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop." And he does actually help clean. Darwin got that quadruple double, gimme no lock, jaw suck of death, bro. He got the glock, not thoughts. You know, you're on niggas on the real. I'm just saying, Darwin got a pretty good life for him in the right industries when you think about it. But yeah, he kind of flatters Rachel, and Rachel stops crying. And then we cut to Penny dance with Hector, and Gumball dancing with Tina. Tina had her little T-Rex arm, has Gumball just hanging, and Hector, who somehow fits into Tobias's house, has Penny in his hand, and Penny's in his hand, and Penny's holding his other hand with her hand. Like, so Penny is in Hector's hand, and she is holding two of his fingers, like, I think the thumb and what the index or the pointer, whatever finger's next to the thumb, and they're dancing or whatever. And Hector's like, yo, Tina, you want the next dance? You could have this one. She just drops Gumball. And then fucking Penny goes on to explain to Gumball that I'm the one that sent you the letter. You are? But I thought it was about food. No, silly. I wanted you to come with me. And I thought, you know, that was really sweet. And Darwin, who like he was a little naive in the beginning of the episode, he's like, we like Darwin's like, why? No, excuse me. Rachel asked Darwin, do you have a girlfriend? You're a pretty sweet dude. He's like, no. What would I ever need a girlfriend for? And he's like, she's like, this. And she gives him a kiss. And he's like, everything makes sense now. I'm just like, you know, man got a little kiss. He started acting different. You know, man's balls don't drop. Nah, he didn't start. He gonna start jerking off now. Sheesh. Man's gonna start having some fun. So then, Penny and Gumball are about to kiss, but then Richard comes out of nowhere. He starts honking the horn, and then they have to leave. And Penny and Rachel's no, Rachel says to Penny, "Is that really the best we can do?" And then Penny says, "I don't know. I kind of like him." I was like that when she said that. I was thinking, oh, okay, fucking Rachel's gonna get with Darwin or something. Rachel's gonna be seen again. I was like, nope. They're like, gotcha, bitch. Some Dave Chappelle shit. They just fucking took her out. I actually kind of really liked her character. Like I said, I really liked her character. Like, what is this thing with me and characters and female characters that I like just being shipped off? Like, it was Eva and Total Drama Action. And now it's Rachel and the Amazing World of Gumball. I'm telling you, man, it's like I'm just bad luck for female characters. Whoever I like, you're getting shipped off next episode. Sorry. Them's the rules. And the episode is ended with Richard asks Darwin, so how was it? And all Darwin can say is, well, I can describe it like this, and he just starts to yodel. I was like, that's pretty beautiful. That's pretty poignant. That's pretty nice. How you describe your first kiss? You really can't with words, but you can describe it with a song or a yodel in this case. That was a pretty good episode. I'm gonna tell you, bro. Not every episode in this season is a banger to me, but there's some good ones. There's absolute bangers in this. Not just because they're funny, but for other reasons. And after the party, we have two more episodes. Two more episodes, guys. We're almost done. We're almost done. Calm, hold your horses. That means be stable. Yeah, I'll see my way out. Next is the helmet. So the basis of the helmet is that Gumball has this tinfoil helmet that gives him super good luck, and he demonstrates it by tossing some food, taking some food that he's eating at family dinner, and he puts on this fork or a spoon, hits the other end of the spoon, and it goes flying, and it ends up back in his mouth. And so he's like, "Wow, you're super lucky." And he's like, yeah, "I'm tired of luck." So he gets to his dad, and his dad gets a call from a game show. It's like win or don't win, some shit like that. He's like, you're on our episode tomorrow. Yes. And he gives it to Nicole, and she gets calls like, hey, come in for interview for a promotion tomorrow. She's like, sure, tell us. So the next day, you have Gumball and Darwin, you know, at school, and Gumball is dealing with the effects of not having luck. He injures himself at gym, destroys an ant farm, ants get on him, starts just nipping at the boy. And other terrible stuff just happens to him. It's so sad. And cut back to Nicole and Richard. They're about to go to, you know, Nicole's like, I need this for my job interview. I can really help us. And Richard's like, you know what? You're right. So he gives her a bag that has it in it. And then he pulls a little sneaky on you. He says, no, wait, 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 wait. That's a fake bag. This is the real bag. It's like, I guess this thing has too much control over me. And she's like, you know what, Richard? I respect you for that. I knew I did. I knew I married the right man. So then we cut to Nicole at the job interview. And she's like, and the interview's like, well, that was a really nice interview. But you can't wear that paper mache hat when you're here. You know, you don't have to wear a paper mache hat when you're like working. She's like, it's not paper mache. It's tinfoil. Like, no, that's paper mache. And she, can I see your TV? Cut your TV on, and we cut to Richard, and he just won a speedboat on Winter Don't Win with the hat on, and she just flips shit, you know, breaks the TV off the wall, tosses stuff off the desk, breaks the filing cabinet, and she's like, "Well, this affect me getting the promotion?" And God's like, "Well, what do you think?" And then she's just like, "Well, fuck it," and just picks up a chair, and then we cut to the family. Well, those three, Nicole, Gumball, and Richard, fighting over the hat. And Nia's just like, "Stop, this is going to tear us apart." And so she takes it, and she takes it, like, I'm gonna go destroy it. And Gumball's like, "No, now give it back." And he starts to trip. And then they end up going to the dump, and they're going to toss it in the incinerator. And it becomes kind of like the Lord of the Rings. I don't know which Lord of the Rings, or maybe it's The Hobbit. I don't really know. I've seen neither series, read not one book, but I know it's kind of like had the Lord of the Rings parody to it. So it's like Gumball becomes Sméagol, and he wants to get the precious, in this case, back. And so he ends up following them to the dump, and they're about to toss it in a volcano, or the incinerator, or whatever. And he's like, "No," and he catches them, and he puts it on. He's like, "You guys can't hit me." And he, like, stands still and start throwing dirt and junk at him. Miss. And he's like, "Fine, I'll make it easier for you on some chat shit." Stands, like, point blank range. They throw the stuff at him. "Oh, you missed. How unfortunate." No, actually what happens is a bird comes down just at the right time. And Anais hits the bird with it, and it just kills the bird on contact. And Gumball's like, "Heh. My turn." And he finds a generator, a tennis ball machine, and he just puts them together, and he's like, "Doo, doo, 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 doo," like this fucking Normandy starts nailing them with tennis balls. So Darwin's like, "I'll sacrifice myself." So he runs up, takes some tennis balls to the body so Anais can score a shot on him. And when she does, she knocks the helmet off. And it goes to the incinerator, and Gumball jumps off the cliff to get it, and he catches it, and Anais is like, "Listen, Anais is like, "Come on, Gumball, let go, we can pull you up." He's like, "No, without it, I'm nothing." And Anais says, "Well, without you, the water sensors are nothing." I thought that was kind of sweet. Which my sister would say stuff like that to me, but all my sister says is, get out. "Why are you here? Go upstairs and leave." Go, like, she says, "Go upstairs. I'm trying to cook," and like, "Go down and like, just leave me alone." Every other conversation is with "leave me alone." Like, bro, teenage girls, too much for me. That's why middle school females and high school females don't like me. But jokes on them. I'm the one with the podcast that gets 20 views. I guess, maybe. And the last episode for today is called The Fight. The Fight is essentially Tina and Gumball have a fight. Gumball comes home one day, messy and everything, smelling nasty, and he tells Anais about what he did with Tina. And she's like, "You know Tina's bullying you. Tina's not bullying me." "No, Tina is bullying you. What do I do?" And Anais calls Tina. She's like, "You're going to leave my brother alone. You're going to stop messing with him." She's like, "Oh, on God? Oh, really?" And it ends up that Aki's like, "Yeah, I'll have a talk with him." And I was like, "You're going to have to fight Tina." "What?" And the rest of the episode involves Gumball trying to prepare for the fight in multiple ways. One way is he learns from his dad, who got bullied a lot for being a fat, dumb kid, what to do. And he learns, like, the bunny hop, which is, you know, like, just run away from your aggressor and play dead. Like, hit a wall and play dead so they think you're dead and leave you alone. And, he goes to Mr. Small, the guy's counselor, and he's like, Mr. Small's like, "What can I help you with?" And he's like, "Oh, well, I'm about to fight Tina. You can help me, Tina?" And he's like, "Nope." Like, all the color from his character model just falls out of him and drips onto the ground to a puddle. And he kicks him out the guy's office. And then Anais tries to rally support to rebel against Tina. But she ends up becoming, like, their messiah, and she gets carried off. The power goes to her head, she says. And then next, Darn makes him a sort of crappy Iron Man suit, which, you know, it's not super crappy. Well, it's pretty crappy. It has bubble wrap protection for his butt. Like, they actually show Gumball's butt on TV, which is kind of weird. Has an MP3 player built into it. I was like, okay, like in the the character model, the armor model in the animation doesn't have an MP3 player on it, so we don't see it. It's just like a MP3 player like taped to the side of a bucket helmet or what. So I kind of like to think that Darwin has a little bit of some engineering skills to kind of put an MP3 player in it, and you can activate it from outside. I'm gonna give Darwin the benefit of the doubt because I kind of like his character, and he's a homie, you know what I mean? He's a homie. And but Darwin's like, time to test it. And then he ends up beating Gumball down with the hockey stick, like brutally beating him. And he's like, you know what? I'll just take my chances. Maybe we can talk with Tina. Maybe I can talk with Tina. So then he goes outside where all the kids are, like, fight, 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 fight. And then Tina comes screeching and she's like, Gumball, stop. And Gumball's like, fuck no. And he's just running. He goes to the pool, starts swimming. He has to run through the girls' locker room, which I think has WC on it for water closet. And all the girls will just throw stuff at him, and he ends up crawling through like a window. But Tina breaks down the wall, and he just keeps running and running and running. And then he gets like Mr. Small, like, Mr. Small, wait, open the door, open the door, open the door. And then he's Mr. Small sees Tina's like, nope. So he closes the door, locks that shit, and Gumball runs into it. And that's when, and then we cut to him at family dinner, and he's wearing like these big oversized sunglasses, and kind of gets those like domestic abuse shit. He's like, and it's like, mom's like, take those glasses off. He's like, he takes them off. He has this fucking black eye, and he's like, how'd you get it? I ran into a door on some fucking domestic violence shit. I thought it was okay. It's kind of a, which is weird. I don't know. So then, and Mrs. Wars, I mean Nicole, is like, okay, let's go talk to Mr. Rex. So then it cuts to them in a car, and they're driving it like nobody else is on the highway. Always using them. I guess to cut some costs, and then they end up at the junkyard where Tina and her dad live, and Tina comes screeching around out to get them, and Nicole yells, "Sits!" at Tina, and Tina sits, and he's like, "You two, make up. I'm gonna go talk to Mr. Rex." She goes to Mr. Rex, opens up, I guess, what his hangar that he sleeps in, whatever the fuck, and you see like this huge face, like you know, it's like a disembodied face. The only time you see Mr. Rex, these two huge red eyes. And this huge grinning teeth, this huge grinning mouth with teeth in it. It was really weird. Not weird, but kind of scary. Honestly, it was kind of scary, if I'm keeping a buck with you. It's not scary, but just unnerving. I'm not surprised I gave some kids some nightmares. And then Nicole's like, well, I think we have to chat about your daughter. And then he roars in her face. He's like, okay, that's what it's going to be? Oh, say less. Say less. And he closes the door. And then Tina and Gumball have a heart to heart, and Tina, like, this actually kind of caught me off guard. Tina kind of just, Tina says that everybody thinks of her as a brute, but I'm not. And then she proceeds to kick a car and destroys it. And I thought that was, and she just says, I thought we were friends. I thought we were just hanging out, which is, and Tina means well. I like to give Tina the benefit of the doubt that she's like not being emotionally manipulative. She's like, give her the benefit of the doubt, says maybe she really, like, really wants to legitimately be friends with Gumball, but this is just due to her T-Rex nature. This is the way in her upbringing, because she lives in a junkyard, and her dad doesn't seem to be, like, the best father. He seems kind of be a douchebag, and he may be abusive, and it's like, this is the only way I can kind of, like, be manifest my care for my friends. So I just felt kind of sad for her. I thought that was pretty good. And like introduction, a real introduction to Tina's character, that she's more than just a brute and a bully. She has feelings and shit. I thought it was kind of cool, kind of sweet. And we come back to Nicole and Mr. Rex, and they're just getting busy in the fucking hangar, like boom, 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 like marks are flying, like when you punch a metal and metal dents and shit just jutting out of the shit. And then it opens, and like Mr. and Nicole, like no scratches, no bruises, no nothing, claps her hands to get the dust off. She's like, oh, I'm glad we came to agreement, Mr. Rex. And then we cut back to the hangar, and it just collapses, just fucking collapses. And it's like, yeah, damn, Mrs. Boss out here fighting T-Rexes on a daily basis, bro. Mrs. Watson is Nicole is fucking scary as shit. Is she with my mom? Yes, mom. No, this no room would be clean. Everything done. Grades A plus. Not a single study session missed. Excuse me, missed. I'm sorry, bro. Nicole is just crazy as shit. And it ends with Tina having lunch with, or Tina and Gumball having lunch. And she just smacks his head into the tray and he eats the food. I guess it's kind of like how they act. But later on in the series, like even the next season, is that like all the character development done in this episode is like immediately erased because Tina is still treated like a bully and they don't even reference what happened, which you know makes sense as a sitcom television show for little kids. Every episode kind of exists in its own bubble, but they don't really they don't really like recognize the fact that Gumball and Tina are like loosely friends. It's just Tina just is always going to be like the bully character. Which is saying it's a TV show. I'm getting kind of out of it, but this is the end of the episode. So, if you've listened this long, I really want to thank you for listening and give me some of your time out of the day. I hope you really enjoyed what we talked about, what I talked about today, and the subject matter in it. If you liked it and you want to comment or tell me how bad I am or how wrong I am, please send me a DM on Instagram at Cartoon Wednesdays. I should be the only person with any of that kind of a name, so you should be able to find me. My Instagram photo is just, my profile pic is the same one as the banner for the show, so pretty easy to find me. And if you have any suggestions for a future episode, please do not be afraid to tell me. Hopefully you get them in because starting the week I get out of school, I'll be starting my review of One Piece, and I'm really excited for that. That's going to be so far like the biggest project of the show, probably the biggest project because it's such a long TV show. So I'm really excited for that. So if you want anything done before then, I really hope you get that stuff to me before then, because if you don't, it's just going to be One Piece and anime, and well, just One Piece. So for that'll be all for this episode of Cartoon Wednesdays, episode 3. My name has been Jacoby Leonard. Hope you've enjoyed the show. And once again, if you have any comments, please send them on Instagram at Cartoon Wednesdays. And have a good day. Goodbye. Peace. Thank you.